Welcome to our Harvest Men of Valor podcast. This is Pastor Elijah, and I hope you guys are enjoying our study through the book of Galatians. On today's podcast, we'll be going over week two of our study, covering Galatians chapter 2, verses 1, all the way to Galatians 3, chapter 9. And this is a lot to cover, but I couldn't decide which portion to cover, so I decided to just overview it all in the message that I've titled, The Christless Identity Crisis. And it doesn't take long to realize that Paul's letter to the Galatians is different from his other prison epistles. The first five verses of Galatians, Paul quickly establishes his authority by stating that he is an apostle, not appointed by men, but God. And then he gives a quick greeting and goes right into rebuke mode in verse 6. He tells the Galatian church that he is shocked that they have turned away from the gospel they first received, the gospel of grace that came to Paul from Jesus himself. And what we see here is that these Gentile believers who accepted the gift of salvation, they have turned away from freedom in Christ towards the bondage of the law. They exchanged their identity in Christ for identity in Judaism, an identity which caused a Christless identity crisis. So these Christians were infiltrated by outsiders who subtly persuaded them to become more like them instead of standing on the truth they knew from the beginning. And doesn't that sound like our culture today? There are those who sneak into the public schools. There are those who sneak into the political realm. There are those who sneak into the pews, and there are those who sneak into our pulpits that subtly persuade Christians to take on a new identity that completely removes Christ out of the equation. And whether it's Judaism like they were dealing with, or our stance on marriage or sexuality, or the infinite spectrum of genders, everywhere we look, we see competing ideologies grasping at us and our children, trying to pull us away from our Christianity. Well, as we dive into today's study, we're going to look at four ways Paul dealt with the Christless identity crisis of his day. And one of the things he did was, number one, he showed that there was clear consensus. The first 10 verses, Paul gives some background on how there was an argument about the gospel he preached to the Gentiles. He wanted to make sure he was doing the right thing, so he went to those who were influential in the faith. He then explained that during his visit, there were fake Christians trying to sneak in and influence the leadership, but the leadership did not fold. And here we read about the conclusion that they came to in Galatians 2, verses 7 through 10. It says, "On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcision worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John," Cephas is Peter, "who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they should be circumcised. Only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do." What Paul established here is that there was a consensus on what the gospel is and what his role was. They agreed that he was preaching the right gospel and that he would present it to the Gentiles. And even when opposed by the religious Jews, Peter, James, and John agreed with him. And I would argue that this is Matthew 18 in practice. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Because this verse isn't about how God shows up if two or more people are praying, because God shows up when one person is praying. If you're praying, God is there. But if you read Matthew 18 in its proper context, it's about the church making decisions and bringing discipline. So when the church comes together to make decisions, obviously biblically based decisions, God stands with the church. So Paul is pointing out to the Galatians church that the leadership already came to a consensus about the gospel, which gave them freedom in Christ. So it was already settled. The Galatians' identity was in Christ through the gospel, not Judaism. And I think as we deal with identity or any other doctrinal issue, it's good to see what the Bible consensus is. It's good to go to the Word of God in its context, and it's also good to look at how the leadership throughout church history settled doctrinal issues. So you're not just saying, this is what I think, but this is what the Bible says, and this is what the church has always stood on. So again, Paul is arguing that a clear consensus was made that Christ is the center of the gospel, not the law. So the first way Paul dealt with the Christless identity crisis is he showed them, number one, there was a clear consensus. And the second way he dealt with the Christless identity crisis is he showed there was consistency in his confrontations. This next portion of scripture is Paul showing the Galatians that he is not just singling them out, but this is something he dealt with even with his boy Peter. Let's read Galatians 2, 11 through 14. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Now here, Paul reveals to the Galatian church that this isn't the first time confronting this, that even one of the pillars of the faith had a Christless identity crisis, and he had to be confronted. See, Peter was eating, hanging with the Gentiles, eating bacon, pork chops, ham sandwiches. He was eating chorizo and eggs. But when the boys from his old neighborhood showed up, out of fear, he pushed the chair back and separated himself from the Gentiles. He even influenced the rest of the Jews, including Barnabas, who was also sent to the Gentiles with Paul. And the most interesting part about this is that James, Peter, and Barnabas were all at the meeting when that clear consensus was made. Now, it says that these men came from James, who was the brother of Jesus, and they were of the circumcision party. Now, there's no indication that they were sent by James. They just happened to be associated with him somehow. And this is not a reflection on James' doctrine. And the point Paul is making here is that Peter fell out of step with the gospel by avoiding his association with the Gentiles. And see, the culture influenced Peter, and Paul confronted Peter on it. See, there's always a temptation to fold to the culture, and this is what Paul first took them back to, the clear consensus which included Peter, James, and Barnabas, and had ground to stand on when he was confronting Peter. And again, we see by Paul giving this account, he is being consistent in confronting the issue even amongst leadership. And this is a model for us in our confrontation, because everyone in the church needs to stand on truth and confront the compromise in the church. And Paul isn't playing favorites. He isn't just being mean to the Galatians. So what Paul is saying is that the issue of replacing their Christian identity with Judaism is serious enough to be called out even when the problem is in the leadership. And if Paul is going to call it out amongst the pillars, he's definitely going to call it out in the pews. And he is consistent in his confrontation. And the last thing I'll say about this point is I see a lot of people who are willing to call out the sin in the church, but will not call out the sin in their own households. So my question to everyone out there is, are you consistent in your confrontation? Now, there's so much I can say about all this. I could spend hours upon hours on it, but I have to move on. But Paul dealt with the Christless identity crisis through one, clear consensus, number two, consistent confrontation, and number three, crucial correction. Now, when dealing with any type of correction, it is important that you focus on the most important things. And Paul didn't get caught up in the minutiae for minutiae's sake. He didn't get caught up in whether it was okay or not to practice some of the things the Jews were doing. He got to the most crucial thing that needed to be addressed, and it is their identity. And let's read that in Galatians 2, verses 15 through 26. It says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth, not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." And we're going to drop down to verses 19 and 20, where it says, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live in God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And the main thing that needed to be corrected here was their identity. Paul makes an argument here about him being born a Jew under the law wasn't what justified him. He wasn't justified by his Jewishness or his Judaism, but he was justified by his faith in Christ. And when he put his faith in Christ, his identity changed. See, what they needed to understand was not just how wrong they were, but they needed to be reminded of who they were and walk in their identity in Christ. Because what you place your identity in will ultimately dictate your actions. And think about today's culture of confusion. We have a bunch of people acting out of these made-up identities, denying reality to the point that they are causing themselves irreversible harm. They're in bondage. And these Gentile believers here were exchanging their Christian identity for an identity that placed them in bondage. See, the way we correct a person's actions is often by getting to the crux of the issue and reminding them who they are. And this is why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christian, if you are in Christ, you died to all the other identities. It is Christ who lives in me. We live by faith in Christ. So stop identifying as an alcoholic. Stop identifying as a porn addict or a drug addict or any other thing that isn't Christ. Walk in your Christian identity. And Paul says later on in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And this means to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, to not ignore the convictions of the Spirit, to cultivate your walk with the Lord. And as a pastor, almost every problem we deal with in counseling comes down to not yielding to the Spirit of God. There's a disconnection with who they are in Christ and how they act in this world. So Paul, in his correction, he gets to the most crucial thing that needs to be corrected, and that is their identity. And man, I have so much that I could say about this. I could do messages on each one of these verses, but I have to move on. So Paul dealt with the Christless identity crisis through number one, clear consensus. Number two, consistent confrontation. Number three, crucial correction. And number four, a candid callback. And I'm going to read Galatians 3, 1 through 9. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supply the Holy Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness, now then, that is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, Paul was very candid or straightforward when calling them back to their faith. He calls them foolish. He asks them, who has bewitched you or who has cast a spell on you? He then asks a series of rhetorical questions about how they came to faith, reminding them that it wasn't through the law or by becoming a Jew, then goes on to say, you Gentiles are those who are blessed by Abraham, with Abraham, through faith like Abraham. So after he showed there was a clear consensus on the truth of the gospel, after he showed that he was consistent in his confronting any and everyone, including the leadership on this matter, after he focused on the most crucial thing when correcting them, which was their identity in Christ, he candidly called them back to the beginning of their faith when they simply put their trust in Christ. And I guess as a point of application, we're all dealing with a Christless identity crisis, not only in our nation, not only in our church, but even sometimes in our homes. And people have taken on an identity that replaced Christ with an identity that has placed them in bondage. And may we use this week's study as a model of how we can deal with the conflict of the Christless identity crisis surrounding us today. Now, I pray that all of you got something out of this. And with that, that's all the time I have for this podcast this week. Until next time, if you want to study these things deeper, I encourage you to join a Harvest small group. And you could join our men's, women's, couples, or co-ed groups at harvest.church/groups. Once again, you're listening to the Harvest Men of Valor podcast. This is Pastor Elijah. God bless.